Sometimes a thought is closer to truth, to reality, than an action. You can say anything, you can do anything, but you can't fake a thought.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing reviews on all the internet's most loved, beloved, hated books to tell you the truth about them and whether or not you should actually read them. So I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And boy, do we have a doozy this week. This is I'm Thinking of Ending Things by Ian Reid. And it follows the story of a narrator that is never named as she goes to a middle of nowhere farmhouse with her boyfriend to meet his parents. And the entire time she's thinking of breaking up with him, and the plot ensues from there.
Absolutely.
Wow. Short and sweet.
It's a short and sweet book. Yeah. And if you can tell by the level of enthusiasm in my voice,
By the way, the digital version, you're like in it. And then it says you have like 40% left and then it's over because there's all this extra stuff at the end of the book. I was like, what?
Yeah, same. Yeah. Super confused.
It's way shorter than it seems. But yeah, I mean, what actually is happening in the book is technically a spoiler. So let's get into it. Do you guys have your reviews?
Yeah, I do. I found a really great review. I really resonated with it. It's a 1-star review. And it says, this book was written by the most annoying nerd in your high school who thought he was smarter than everyone else, but never talked about anything remotely interesting.
Wow. Well, I pulled a 5-star review. Which I did look at the 1-stars, but I didn't see any that I thought were that great. So one of them I'll read, which is like similar to just how I feel. And it's the back of the book merely promises that you will be afraid and not know why. There are no other details. Funnily enough, that is the most accurate summation of this novel possible.
Absolutely.
True.
Yep. And the next one is funnier. It's also 5 stars, but it says, and now I'm thinking of starting therapy.
That's great.
Okay, well, I have two. One's a DNF that I think is funny because who DNFs this book?
I was going to, not gonna lie.
It's so short. It says, so whiny, so self-involved, skip it.
There we go.
But when you know how it ends, that's extra funny. But then I got there's a 4-star and it says, this book was amazing. What was it about? Never mind. Just read another review and I actually get it now. Aha.
That's so funny. Okay. Well, the overall Goodreads rating is 3.5 out of 5. And the overall Amazon rating is 3.8 out of 5. Where do you guys come down?
Do you all want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'm assuming I'm the highest. I think I am. So I can go first. Okay. But I loved this book. I mean, this book was totally written for me. Like, I love horror. I love psychological horror. I love books where you have to work really hard to figure out what's actually happening and like where the main characters are really untrustworthy and you don't know how to evaluate their perception of what's happening. That's like it. Like, that's why I loved Bunny. This is why I love this. I loved the ending so much. Like, it kind of blew my mind. I do want to disclaim, this is a movie now, and I watched the movie before I read the book, which does kind of suck. I really wish I got to go in totally blind to this book because I think I may have had a different experience because I already kind of knew the general plot idea because of the movie. So this is a confusing book, and I don't totally know what it's like to have that experience just because I already kind of understood it beforehand. But I loved the movie, too. And the movie is crazy and so scary. But to me, this is true horror. Like, horror is not about aliens. Horror is not about people breaking into your house. It's about that deep feeling of dread in your stomach that you just can't understand what's happening. And the life is out of your control. And this book does it so perfectly. So I give it 5 stars.
Psychological trauma.
Yeah.
I also really like this book, not to the same extent. I feel like people thought I was going to hate this book, and I did go in blind. Didn't even read the back of the book. No idea. Yeah. I give it 4 stars. I kind of figured out at the end, like, not the end, but like I figured out kind of where it was going, and I was like, ooh, genius. I just thought it was so clever, and it was like you said, like you didn't know why you were scared, but you were kind of scared. And the only thing I thought, some of the dialogue was kind of boring. Like, it was really well written, and there were a lot of cool ideas explored, but the beginning especially was pretty boring, so that's why it's not a perfect 5 stars for me, but I do think it's worth the read.
Well, I'm about to rain on y'all's parade. I gave it 2 stars.
Oh,
yeah.
Let me put a disclaimer. I don't like horror films, books, anything. So this was already off to a really rough start. I knew the ending by the time they showed up at the house and the photo. Never mind. I'm not going to spoil it. But I knew the ending as soon as that happened. I don't know. Here's the thing. So in the digital copy, you talked about how, like, you think that you're not close to the end, and then, like, there's just a bunch of random shit at the end. So, like, it's a lot closer to the end than you think. I was about 75% through this book. And then last night I was like, oh, I have to finish reading this, or I could just DNF it. I didn't realize I had, like, maybe 20 pages left. That's how, like, I was so close to the end. I was going to DNF it. That was how bad I had with this book, because I was just like, I don't know, didn't like any of the characters. I thought they were all stupid. I'm that girl in the movie theater, if I'm watching a horror film, that's just like, don't go in the basement. Ugh, dumb bitch went in the basement. Like, I'm just like, what are you doing with yourself?
Dumb bitch did go in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. Dumb bitch did go in the basement. And I'm like, you dumb bitch, stop that. Like, I'm that person that would immediately, if I was trapped in the situation, I would steal the keys, drive away, and never look back again.
Oh, but you can't, because
no, don't put yourself in that situation. I know.
That, she can't not be in that situation. That's part
of it. I realize that. Still.
I'll never look at Dairy Queen the same.
Yeah. Oh, gross. My God.
That
I know.
So gross.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I have not been back since, because it, like, haunts me now. Okay. Well, cool. So this book, I think the non-spoilers are going to be really hard, because to actually explain what's happening is a spoiler, because you're supposed to figure it out as you go. But is it more book? Is the book more plot or character driven?
I mean, character. None said,
obviously. Yeah.
No further explanation.
Okay. Yeah, period. And have you or would you read other books by the author?
No.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't know if I care. Like, it was good, but I don't know if it's just like... Also, I saw a review that said that's one of his most accessible books. I was like, oh.
He said, oh, God, that is kind of scary. No, I love this book. I would totally read more books by the author. But as I mentioned before, I'm like a huge horror lover. So I imagine that I would like his other stuff. But this is definitely by far his most famous book. So his others, I honestly haven't even really heard of.
I mean, it is a Netflix film, so.
Right, with a very famous actor in it.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's for you, Catherine. Let's talk about the pacing. How long did it take you to read?
Like a month.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, but to be fair, I read most of it in like two or three sittings. So, like, you know, I just didn't want to pick it back up. So that was more a me thing than the book thing.
It took me like 3 days to read, and only because I was busy. I think I sat down and read it like 2 or 3 times. And I also was juggling The Anxious Generation while I was reading it. Those are wacky to read together.
Odd pairing, yeah.
But like, I mean, it worked. When I was getting bored with The Anxious Generation, I'd pick up this one.
There we go.
And yeah, I don't know. 2 or 3 days. I had no issue. The beginning was a little boring, but yeah. the beginning. It's like 200 some pages. The beginning is only so long.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think the very start of the novel is the most boring part. But I think it kind of quickly ramps up. So for me, I read the book in like 2 days easy, and like I was obsessed with it. Like it was constantly on my mind. I was constantly like, oh, I want to know what happens next. It's one of those books where you keep reading to figure out what's happening, and then the actual like what's happening doesn't come until so much later. So for me, that was like a huge driver to just keep picking it back up, keep picking it back up. Because I was like excited by like kind of collecting the clues of like what the fuck was going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, spoiler for me, I've already watched the movie, but would you guys watch the movie from 2020?
No, but I don't like horror, so we're already not going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a scary movie person, but also if it's like this, like psychological, I kind of, I don't know. 50-50.
The movie is extremely psychological, and it's also extremely well done.
Also, I already know how it ends, so it wouldn't be scary now.
Right, so it's not as freaky. Because when I watched this, I was like, that's one of the scariest movies I've ever watched. Because you just sit in that feeling of discomfort for like a full 2 hours.
Ooh. I will say, I'll give the book credit. I felt discomfort the entire time reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's short. That's why I can't give it one star, because I'm like, it's short enough to make a justification for reading it. And I understand the appeal for other people.
Yeah. I'm just like so emotionally unattached to every book I read that I was like, wow, this is so fun.
Oh my God. Cool.
I don't know. Like
fun is not the word I would use to describe this book.
I liked solving it.
But yeah, the movie is like very, very well done. And it actually takes a slightly different, like, stance towards the ending. Like it gets a little bit more complicated, which I can't explain without spoiling the book, but it is very good, so I highly recommend everyone watch it. Okay, busy girl rating.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with my quality rating of 4 for the busy girl rating, because I think it's so short and it did keep me reading because I wanted to solve it. But I will remove the 1 star because I'll acknowledge it's definitely not for everybody, especially Catherine.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I took off 1 star from my 5 to give it a 4. I think it's a quick read. It's super interesting. I actually really wish they would fix the Kindle like percentage mark, though, because I think it actually like sort of hurts the reading experience when you think it's so much longer than it is. So I actually think that's an error that is kind of fucked up. Like they need to fix that. But I think it's quick. Part of the reason I'm taking off 1 star is that it's a weird book and you kind of have to be ready to just be along for the ride. And I don't know that, you know, if you're having a really, really hard time in life, this is like the perfect book to pick up.
God.
Especially if, anyway, that's all I'm going to say. So I'm going to give it 4 because I think it's short and great.
I'll bump my star rating up to a 3 for a busy girl rating, because I think if you like horror, you're going to like this book, and it's short. I don't think the pacing is all that great until you get to like the middle part. Because I just think the beginning, I don't like the character. So I was like, I'm not interested in your conversations at all. But I think if you like the horror genre, you're obviously going to finish it. But if you're not a horror girly, this is a skip.
Fair. All right. Well, now we get to the spoiler alert. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so excited. This book is, I think, worth reading blind. So if you're at all interested in this, if you're a psychological thriller person, go read it and then check back in, especially if you haven't already had it spoiled for you just via pop culture. Don't let us ruin it for you at the last second. Read it, come back. And if you're not into horror, you might as well just listen to us explain it to you. So our first question is, there are not many characters in this book. What did you think of the narrator and specifically the decision that the main female character is unnamed?
I figured out fairly early on. I was like, what is her name? And that was just one of the clues, I feel like, that led me to, kind of like you said, close to like the farmhouse time. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I thought it was clever. I still like was thinking back in my head, trying to figure out how it all worked. Mm-hmm. But also like, I don't think it's supposed to be that like, I think you're kind of supposed to like leave the air of not knowing, you know, so like don't think too deeply about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was so clever. Every time I figured something out, I was like, ooh, good job. Like, yeah. I wanted to like tell the author like, ooh, that was good. Good one. You know,
I'll give the author props. That was a smart decision because like you don't always have to name your main character, because if you're doing an I point of view, like a first person, you don't necessarily have a name. Unless you say it directly or someone says it to you. I think that was a smart idea, especially because of the ending. I will say the moment that I knew what the ending was going to be was when she looked at the photo and she's mm-hmm. like, that looks like me. And I'm like, oh, I see where this is going.
yeah, that was the biggest clue.
Yeah.
Actually, I would argue the biggest clue was the basement.
Oh, with yeah.
paintings. And the paintings had a different person in everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, for me, the huge thing that I love, love, love about this book is it's told from the perspective of a person's inner fantasy. Like, that's crazy. That's so cool to like, it's their fantasy. So there's all these, the thing I love most is like, so you're from the perspective of his fantasy. So she has all these like weird attractions to him that make no sense.
No.
Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing because the author is like literally making fun of him. Like he is like making fun of this sort of like incel man being like, oh yeah, like I love how sweaty and gross he is and how he just loves to explain things to me all the time. Like and you kind of get it because she's like making fun of him and mocking him, even as she like, but she's his fantasy, so she likes that about him, even if it's obvious to the reader that he's like an unpleasant person.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of dunking on him, even as she's like, oh, and I love it. Oh, it just turns me on when he's just so like gross and clammy.
I did not connect those dots, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I do think, I guess for people who aren't going to read the book, we should explain that the whole time this character is actually schizophrenic and all the characters are himself. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I think so. It's him.
I mean, basically, I don't know if he's actually. So I think you can read it that he's schizophrenic, or I think you can read it that this is just like a creation of his mind because he's like just living in his like fantasy. He's like,
I picked schizophrenia because he mentioned his schizophrenic brother.
Yeah, he did.
So that's
Does he say he's schizophrenic or does he just say he's mentally ill?
He says schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't remember that.
So anyway, but I think the genius of the main character here is, now that everybody's in on the secret, is that he saw this girl. Like this is based on
one time thing.
Girl that he wishes he would have talked to. And she became like another personality in his head. It was cool.
Well, she became his like fake girlfriend that like anytime he felt lonely, he was like, oh, I'm just going to like imagine me and this girl actually worked out. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that I liked. This point is hit harder in the movie, which is something I actually liked better in the movie. But in the movie, all the things about the female main character keep changing. Like she'll say what her job is. And every time someone asks her what her job is, she'll say a different answer. She is like morphing as what he wants is morphing. And so she's not a real person, which is why she doesn't have a name. And I thought that was like a great point too. So the movie hits the point a little bit harder that it's like, she's not a real person. She just is designed to fit his needs at whatever moment.
Well, I feel like a movie can do that better because you don't have to read the inner dialogue because it can get lost in dialogue or in inner thoughts in a book.
Right.
But in a movie, less so.
Right. But I thought it was just so cool to watch bring someone's inner fantasy to life as if they're actually real and they're actually thinking about the person, because she like actually doesn't really like him, which is kind of funny.
You keep saying I'm thinking of ending things.
Yeah. And she wants to end it. But then you realize at the end that also his own dislike of himself is filtered into her as well. And so her thinking of ending things and her critiques of him are like his critiques of himself, which is also very interesting.
Side note, the guy who played Jake in the movie, did you see he was tapped to play Plutarch in the Sunrise on the Reaping movie?
I didn't, yeah. But I love that actor. He's also in several Black Mirror episodes and is very good in those too.
I think he's going to do a fantastic job as Plutarch.
He also kind of looks like a young
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He totally does.
Yeah, Jesse Plemons. I love him.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a side note. since we were talking about the main character, I was like, he's getting a new movie.
Right. So all that dynamics with like the fantasy girl with no name and then the actual person was my favorite part. But one of the weirder parts is this caller. Like this person keeps calling her. And this is actually one of the bigger clues too, is like it's coming from her number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a man, but it's also a woman. And you're like, what is going on?
So it'd be different if it was like the old horror movies. Like it's a landline. So it's coming from somewhere else in the house. But this is a cell phone. So you're like, well.
Right. And at first it starts off. I think this was an element that I liked just because I think it built the horror and it like that feeling of like being watched really well. But you never really get an explanation for it other Not than just all. Like it's part of like his like weird psychosis, I guess, because he's like calling himself. But then the caller keeps calling and keeps calling and keeps calling and the messages get longer and more weird and more threatening.
Well, the girl tries to, at one point she's describing a man outside her window when she was young, and that kind of throws you a different direction for a minute.
Yeah,
but then you kind of just disregard it because there's too much other stuff going on.
right.
But yeah, like the point of the call is, do you know the answer to the one question? And the whole question is, are we ending things, you know?
Yeah,
at least that's how I interpreted it.
That's how I interpreted it too.
Yeah. The calls honestly feel a little pointless by the end because it's just kind of like, what? Yeah. So I'm like, I understand it was a mode to increase the tension, but I feel like they should have been more involved if you're going to add that kind of thing in. But I already did like the book, so, you know.
Yeah. Because to me, the reason I forgave it is because then I think there's this weird part where then like, the people become more real just in the sense that then they like kind of actually interact with like real Jake, like not like fantasy world Jake when he's young, but like actual, like he's this old janitor. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so this is as if like real Jake in the real world was calling her, and then they end up showing up at his school. And obviously we know that he ends up killing himself, but
in a very gruesome way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's also some small like chapters are broken up with discussions from the real world. Mm-hmm. So like people who were his employers basically talking about like, oh, we found him, you know, dead. And so that's something that also brings in some more like actual reality perspective.
Well, in the beginning, because they're at the end of each chapter, at the beginning of it, you kind of seem to think that like he murdered her and himself, like it was a murder suicide. And then once you get closer to the end, you realize it was never a murder suicide. It was just a suicide. So I think that was kind of clever of like keeping the suspense of like, oh, did mm-hmm. they know that he would do this? Like, would he kill her kind of thing? But it was like,
yeah. It was the school scene is probably the scariest thing I've ever read.
Oh, my God.
The end chapters try to throw you off the like in notes because they're talking about in the lab and you're like, oh, well, this person dies in a lab. So like they're in a school. It's fine. But then they go in the science lab. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. Right. No, it was so scary, honestly, especially in the era of school shootings, because I feel like we like, I don't know, just like the psychology of like the threat that we think about in schools is a lot different now.
Yeah.
And him like slowly like following her and like she can't find her Jake anymore and she doesn't know where he went. I was like so scared.
The rubber boots.
The rubber boots were terrifying. I mean, yeah.
Oh, and the song. Like song is so random, but like just adds to the tension.
I would go crazy if I heard that song over and over and over again for an hour. And I mean, it's just... I feel like all of my nightmares happen at school. I'm not going to lie. All of my nightmares happen at my elementary school, and someone gets murdered.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think you should talk to a therapist about
that.
I have one, so yeah, maybe I should. But yeah, I don't know.
But I agree. I mean, I feel like your high school especially like always has this like weird place in your mind. It's like a symbol of your teenage years. And so it feels like a very loaded part of the book that they end up at a school, because it's like even the themes are there, which Jake, real Jake, thinks about at the end too, is like, this is kind of where it all went wrong for him. Like, well, he could never.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say he could never like become the person he wanted to be. And so he just kind of stays locked in high school forever.
Well, so I was going to add also when she's running around, she's like, I'm going to the gym. Wait, how do I know what direction that is? It's like,
yeah,
that adds a little bit of attention too. It was so good. There's paint on my hands. Oh no, he left a message. He's been in here. Like, no, the paint's on your own hands, girlfriend.
Yeah.
You wrote the message.
Yeah. I loved the like kind of weird warps and like her being her and then her being him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it switches to we.
Jesus.
Okay. The other main part of the book has like several main parts. It's like them driving to the farmhouse, them being at the farmhouse, them leaving the farmhouse, and then being at the school are sort of like, and then the Dairy Queen is like in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm confused. Was the Dairy Queen real? That's the only part I haven't decided on.
I felt like it was him.
Was the one girl real?
Yeah. I think she was real, but I think she was like someone that he had met. Like, I interpreted her as maybe like the one girl who was sort of like nice to him in high school.
Because she said, I'm scared because I know what's going to happen to you. Like, right. I'm worried for you. I don't know. So I wasn't sure on that. Was like the only part I wasn't sure on. But yes, back to the actual farm.
Yeah. So what did you think about the parents and the farmhouse?
When you realize they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been dead all along. I mean, yeah, the mom was freaky. The dad seemed actually okay. Yeah. I mean, I was uncomfortable the entire time, especially when he was like taking her around the farm and just like showing her around, even though it was like fucking cold outside. And she's like, I don't want to be here anymore. And he's like, yeah, we slaughter pigs here. And she's like, that's grotesque.
Yeah.
And like the dead lambs hanging there.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's horrifying. I understand that.
Like none of that in the moment was like weird, but it just added a little bit to like the tension in the back of your head. You're like, oh, they're dead animals. Okay.
Yeah.
Like everyone understands that at farms, animals die and animals get murdered right. in order to make profit, stuff like that. But like to actually hear it out loud or to see like descriptions of it, it reminded me of Tender as the Flesh. And I was like, this is too much for me right now. Mm-hmm. Can we not?
I think the basement was like the most genius part.
Yeah.
Because it was like this creature with a different person every time and in different scenarios. And like, I feel like if you were going to paint what schizophrenia looks like, there you go. Like, that's it. I don't know.
Well, the fact that nothing was in the basement.
Except the painting.
But nothing was down there. That's what everyone says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but and then like the lock from the inside, not the outside, you know, like it was just interesting. So that's where I was like, ooh, I think I'm figuring it out. And then I got really excited from that point on about things.
Yeah. That scene is very disturbing. And at that point I was like, is this because he was abused? Like I was still like, where is this coming from? Is this like his mental illness? Is this like him being locked in the basement? Like, why was he able to lock himself in the basement? But I do feel like it's a good, like, it's like bringing to life the idea that your mind is like sort of a prison, right? Like he was locked down there with himself.
I did sort of think briefly, because I had mentioned the brother who was ill with schizophrenia. And I was like, oh, maybe they kept the brother down there. And then I was like, no, he is the brother.
Well, they could have taken it where that. And I thought for a second they might take it to where like both of the brothers are alive and they were twins and they've been flipping places with her. And that would have been freaky because I feel like that's a lot of horror films of just like if you're going to do identical twins swapping. But then
Twins are scary.
Twins are scary.
I'm hoping Casey's twin, her sister, yeah, is Haley, in earshot.
My little sisters are twins. They're not. She's not in earshot. But yeah, that was one of the things I caught immediately. I was like, well, obviously he's the brother. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of interested if there was a brother and the brother was just like the actual functioning one, right? Like the normal one. And then he's like the weird one. Yeah. But then in his fantasy mind, his brother is the weird one and he's the normal one. Mm-hmm. But it turns out it was all just him.
Well, I mean, he was weird all along. He did some weird.
The parents saying, like, we're so grateful for what you're doing for Jake. I was like, oh.
That made me, like, want to throw up. I was like, oh, God, he's weird.
Yeah. No.
I mean, how he didn't eat anything at dinner, but she did.
And the fact that he wouldn't interfere with his parents, like, she was the one who was having to respond to them and not him.
The mom changing dresses, creepy. I don't know why. It was creepy.
Weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay. So we've already talked about the school scene a little bit, but this all kind of happens because of a very like stressful social interaction where Jake pulls over and he is like, him and the girl start kind of getting heated in the car, which happens really abruptly, by the way. Like, yeah. I was like, okay, very much male fantasy here.
And because she, like, I kind of liked it. I was like,
she's like, I'm into it. I'm like, no, you're not. You've been thinking about breaking up with him this entire fucking time.
Yeah, which is another reason why I liked it. Because it was like, it was just so male fantasy that he was just like, okay, now let's have sex. And she was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Even though she like hates him and wants to break up with him. Anyway, then this guy who's the janitor, who we learn is actually Jake, is watching them. And then Fantasy Jake gets super mad because he's like, he shouldn't be watching us. He's a pervert. Very interesting commentary on the self. And so then he gets out of the car and goes to confront him. And then she's locked in the car by herself. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And then she ends up going to the school. What did you guys think of the school and him leaving her in the car to go into this like abandoned school?
That was where I stopped and put it down. I know, because I was just immediately like, y'all stupid. Like, I would never be put in the situation, because obviously not possible, it's a fantasy, not actually real. But then also, if it was real, no. If I was being told by my boyfriend, who I was already thinking about breaking up with, that we were going to go to a remote abandoned area to meet his family, I would immediately say no. Or I would say, can I drive? And I have control of the keys the entire time.
Right. Yeah, but that's the fun of it. Like, as soon
it's
as
not fun.
He has this irrational reaction.
Uh-huh.
And she's panicking. And that's when you, like, know for sure that, like, not everything is as it seems. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had to keep reading, because I was like,
you are talking to a person who literally fast forwards through scary parts in movies.
Stop. It was so, that's when I had to keep reading. And I don't even like scary things. I had to know.
This is literally when I put it down and didn't pick it up for 2 weeks.
Stop. No, that's crazy. I was so strapped in. I was like, I was like page after page after page. I was like, I have to keep going.
I was like, how fast can I read this? I gotta know.
Well, that was the point where it was like, oh, I still have 25% left. Fuck, how am I gonna get through this? And then like it lied to me. I'm like, well, I'm glad it lied to me, because I thought I was in for it.
What a fascinating way to write a mental break, like a total burnt crash out. Like,
I can give props to that. I just was uninterested in watching that unfold.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing too. One of the reasons I thought it was amazing is because I do agree with you, Catherine. Like, something that annoys me about normal horror movies is the characters just make stupid decisions. Yeah. And it's sort of just annoying. It's like, why would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
But this, to me, like, has the perfect answer. It's like, because they're fantasies. They're not actually in control. They're not actually able to make decisions. Like, and all of this is so weird and crazy because they're locked in this person's brain. And so she obviously wants to leave. Like, she thinks multiple times, she's like, I don't want to go to the Dairy Queen. Like, I want to go home. Like, I don't want to go to the school. But she literally can't stop the events from happening. Like, she's not in control. And I think that is a core part of why I think the book executes horror so well and you get that deep feeling of discomfort is because she has no control. Like, and honestly, like we learn later, neither does Jake, but the fact that she literally cannot influence a single event in the book, I think gives you that like feeling of like out of control of like why, like she can't make anything she wants to happen happen. And
it plays on horror tropes really, really well and gives you answers to them that are actually reasonable answers instead of just being like, it's a dumb bitch move. So, yes, that's why I give it 2 stars and not 1 star.
How generous. Like,
you're supposed to feel out of control because the main character feels out of control.
I don't like that feeling.
That's when you switch. The question's not, I'm thinking of ending the relationship. It's like, I'm thinking of ending things like ending things.
Well, yeah, I figured.
It's so good.
Yeah. I love it. I love it when it finally makes that flip from the relationship to suicide. Like, it's just like,
I was wondering because in the end notes they were talking about all like the stab wounds in the closet. I was like, how then? Because I had figured it out. I was like, how did he even do that to himself? And then it was like a hanger and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. Disgusting.
I skimmed that part. I was like, nope.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're officially at the ending. You know, now all things are clear, or at least clearer. You know, did you guys feel like you got it at the end?
Yeah. I understood. I mean,
is my interpretation of schizophrenia what happened in the movie?
I guess.
You watched the
movie. Oh, in the movie. Sorry. yeah, so the movie actually ends a lot more open-ended, which is why I actually had a really interesting experience with this book. Because I actually had a slightly different interpretation of the movie than I did of the book. Like all the stuff with the janitor and the suicide and everything still happens. But the girl who's the main character, I feel like there's a lot more commentary just about like the way men think about women and like what men want their fantasies to be. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that actually was more my takeaway from the movie, was not that she was thinking of ending things because she was in the mind of someone committing suicide. It was more like, even in a man's fantasy, the woman is still like deeply unhappy. So I feel like they blur those lines a little more between what she's able to think independently and is like more of an independent actor than she is in the book, where it's like very clear that she's like just part of his like psychosis.
I feel like that would make it more interesting. That actually makes me want to actually watch the movie, because I didn't get a lot of the takeaways you were talking about like male fantasy and stuff like that, because I don't think the book is totally written that way. I'd be curious to see if the screenwriters in the movie were female, and that's why that takeaway was exaggerated.
Right.
Because I feel like I would have enjoyed the book more if it had more of those elements into it.
I will say, I feel like it was ultimately more exaggerated in the movie, but the part that I found really interesting in the book is you get a lot more of her internal thoughts. And so, like, I do still feel like in the beginning, like, something that was really effective was like her thinking about Jake, and she was saying that she was attracted to him, even though she was describing something that was not attractive. Yeah. So I felt like those, like, they were in the book still. It was just like, I felt personally
it's a retrospect when you're reading. Right. You get to the end, right. You're like, oh.
Exactly.
Also, people said they were listening to the audiobook and they didn't know what was happening. I was like, no freaking way could I listen to the audiobook of that. No.
I would absolutely never listen to this audiobook. Ever.
God fucking no.
Yeah. No. But I think if you read it physically and you get to the end, you look back on their conversations, you're like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That was odd.
But the movie doesn't tie things up so much. So like there's no people who are like after it all, like thinking back. You don't get any of those parts. So it's just like a lot more open to interpretation. It ends very much more so where you're like, what the fuck was that?
I'm kind of intrigued.
It's a good movie though. Like I would definitely, especially now that you've read the book and you actually kind of get it, I think it would be even better, actually. But it's a very different experience. It's very interesting. I don't regret watching it.
I'm going
to
visit Catherine and
a couple
weeks. Oh my god!
No,
I don't regret watching the movie, but I also do wish I got to go into the book with like more blindness, because I think that would have been fun, but
whatever.
I like Catherine's last question on here because
yeah.
I know it's rhetorical, basically coming from her. Would you have gone with your boyfriend to meet his family at a remote farmhouse if you were thinking about breaking up?
No.
Yeah. No.
I went on a rural zipline adventure with a guy I was thinking of dumping.
You're crazy. You're insane.
I trusted him.
Yeah, he wasn't actually crazy.
I'd already met his family. It was fine.
I have trust issues. I don't trust many people. And if I was thinking of breaking up with a guy and he pitched the idea of taking me to a remote place with no cell service, I would think he was going to murder me. That'd be the first thought in my head.
I will say, I would have gone on the rural zipline adventure if I was thinking about breaking up with someone. But I would not have gone meet someone's family if I was thinking about breaking up with someone.
No.
Because I at least personally find meeting someone's family really stressful.
Yes.
And I just would never put myself through that if I wasn't feeling confident in the relationship. So,
well, breakups are way harder when you like the family.
Well, right. Yes. And I would say if I was forced to say yes, or I felt obligated to say yes, I would make up an excuse like, oh, let's take separate cars because I'll be in a different area doing work or something. So I'll meet you there. Just give me the address. And that way I have an out the entire time.
Someone was raised in downtown Austin.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone didn't drive country back roads for fun with boys.
No. No, I did not.
Oops.
To be fair, I was like the only person in my friend group growing up that actually got a driver's license. So I was always the driver in basically every instance.
Wow, that's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah. I literally took country back roads to get to my high school as a shortcut. So
I mean, everything about
this, like the random country Dairy Queen and everything, like thinking of driving to meet like extended.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm like, yes, yes.
I grew up in Texas, so obviously I drove on country back roads to get across the fucking state. But like, it was with my own volition and my family, not with a random boy.
Yeah, no, sorry. Bad country boyfriends.
Yeah, if you live outside of city limits, you just can't date Catherine Vanerdy, so.
No, sorry. I don't trust you.
Not even a suburb girl. She's a city girl.
I am a city goyle.
All right. Well, I think that's it. That's everything. Do you guys have book recommendations?
Actually, yes.
Slay.
I think the whole time it was giving me the same feeling as Mexican Gothic.
Oh, 100%.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yes. So, and if you want something that's not quite as open-ended, but still kind of like you don't know why you're scared for a lot of it, why you're creeped out, that's a good one.
Right.
I mean, I've already said kind of one, Tender is the Flesh. I feel like if people like this book, they'll enjoy that one.
Yeah. Very like queasy, sit in the discomfort horror.
Yes.
I'm gonna do Bunny. Another sort of psychological horror book where you question the main character a lot and you're not really sure what's real and what's not. So yeah. And we have episodes on all of those. So
we do.
Wow, yes, we do.
But they're all spooky season books, and this one we did in May.
During the regular hours.
Yes.
Oh, it was a reader suggestion.
So. It was a reader suggestion.
It was a request. Yes. Request.
Who are you?
This reader was really thought that Catherine and I would both hate this book, but
I think so.
It was only Catherine. We have the rare Caitlin Casey against Catherine.
I love it. Those are always rare my favorite thing. Episodes. Yeah.
I feel like it's just like Tender is the Flesh.
It mostly happens in spooky season, I think.
Yeah, right.
That's honestly not my season.
Right.
I like dressing up as like cutesy girly things. And that's about so it. Funny.
When I was a kid, I wore like this, like one of the Scream masks, and it would like rain blood down it. Like, so no. I am a horror girl.
I dressed up as Oscar the Grouch and like Wonder
Woman. That's fitting. No.
Yes. No, it is very fitting. wild because it was a part of like a group costume, and all my friends, like, they were like Elmo and Cookie Monster, were like, no, Catherine, you're Oscar the Grouch. And I'm like, I can see it.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. Okay. Anyway, rate and review our podcast, guys. 5 stars. Recommend it to your friends. Play it out loud in class. Tell people about us.
Yeah. Send us more requests, because like, this was a listener request.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Send us more.
We have fun doing you guys' requests.
I wish I had written down whose name it was, but I forget. So shout out to you. You know who you are.
LOL. Oh, so anyway, these are just our opinions. We have a lot of them, but we love to hear other people's opinions. So if you ever want to tell us what you think, you can do that at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. We're most active on Instagram. And you can also check us out at our website, busygirlspod.com.
Yeah. And with that, I'm ending things. I'm Catherine.
Whoa, not like that. Okay. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.